Where are the places where fireworks happen regularly, where the laws are being ignored, and frankly, where the environment is most at risk? And La Jolla very quickly rose to the top as the most sensitive and highly protected area, where it's just been blatant the way that the public and the elected officials have looked the other way on the environmental laws.
Good morning, I'm Tommy Helm, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. Tree Huggers International is a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program dedicated to the preservation of parks, wilderness, and special places, from the beaches to the mountains to the deserts. This is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. Fireworks. The first reaction upon hearing the word for most people, beyond the booms and explosions, is the Independence Day holiday on the 4th of July. While fireworks are fun and they have their place, they don't come without a cost. Beyond the immediate air and noise pollution of a fireworks event, the colors in a detonation of fireworks are created with the use of toxic heavy metals like barium, aluminum, lead, mercury salts, copper, and strontium. In the past, metals like cadmium were used, and while some toxic elements like lead compounds and mercury and mercurous chloride are, by law, not used in fireworks any longer, some fireworks chemical outlets still sell some of these ingredients, and they still can be seen in some pyrotechnic chemical lists. To give a little boost of color to white fireworks, for example, arsenic remains an ingredient, albeit in small amounts. Despite this, fireworks remain a part of not just culture in the U.S., but around the world. Used responsibly by professionals in controlled situations, the water contaminants, fine toxic dusts, and fallout of heavy metals and poisonous materials can be mitigated. So it is reasonable then to work on the understanding some places are appropriate for fireworks, and some places perhaps are not. Sensitive biological areas, identified as such by state or federal entities, would certainly qualify as not appropriate. In Southern California, La Jolla Cove is one of those places. Joining us today to talk more about this issue is Marco Gonzalez, the co-founder and a partner at Coast Law Group in Encinitas, California, and the executive director of the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation. Coast Law Group focuses primarily on environmental, land use, water quality, and natural resource advocacy and litigation. Prior to founding Coast Law Group, Marco was the senior attorney with San Diego Baykeeper and served as director of the San Diego Baykeeper Environmental Law and Policy Clinic and as chairman and legal counsel for the Surfrider Foundation's San Diego chapter. And Marco, I know we've been talking for about 3 years or so to get you on Tree Huggers International, but it is great to finally get you on the program. Welcome to Tree Huggers International. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Tommy. Yeah, it's kind of funny. After all this time, it's something like fireworks that finally got me to to get over here on the show.
And I almost want to take this Colbert approach with this conversation and ask you right off the bat why you hate America, but instead we'll let calmer heads prevail.
Well, you know, I could give you the same response I gave to some conservative radio hosts. I went on their show, and I usually don't do conservative radio too much for fairly obvious reasons. They aren't the best on perspectives on the environment. But what I told them was, hey, I'm the son of a Mexican immigrant, came here years ago, and as all of your listeners know about us Mexicans, we are pretty frustrated that the rich white man stole our land years and years ago, and obviously my disdain for fireworks has more to do with my love for Mexico than it does for any love for the environment. Yeah, we got a little chuckle out of that, but I just said, hey, isn't that what your listeners want to hear me say? So far from the truth. I mean, really.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the position of the Coast Law Group and the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation on the fireworks at La Jolla Cove, why this is not an appropriate location, and also talk a little bit, if you could, about the difference between the Coast Law Group and the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation.
In the press, sometimes folks mix up Coast Law Group and our client, Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation. You know, Coast Law Group, we're a law firm in Encinitas. We have about 13 attorneys, and we do a lot of environmental work, but we also do a lot of business work. We're a traditional law firm, but what makes us unique is that we use our business work to subsidize the environmental work that needs to get done. This is the kind of work that wouldn't otherwise be profitable or wouldn't otherwise perhaps be fundable by some of the other nonprofits out there. And so at Coast Law Group, we put a significant amount of our budget into doing this difficult work. And so we represent groups all over town. A number of years ago, we started to see that the more difficult work or the issues that would come up weren't getting addressed. So we asked ourselves, why is that? You know, we've created a law firm that is there to do the hard lifting on some of these issues. And by and large, we found that with issues much like fireworks and fireworks in La Jolla specifically, there were groups out there who were really concerned about fundraising, about public perception, and their boards of directors weren't really willing to take on the difficult challenges. And so a bunch of us got together, a bunch of us who had worked with San Diego Coast Keeper and Surf Rider Foundation and other nonprofits, and including a number of attorneys and staff at my firm, and we formed a new group, the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation. And our whole mantra really is, you know, we do the work that needs to get done. There are a host of issues that, frankly, we don't believe that we can enjoy our environment every day without looking into. These are the ones like desalination, some border pollution type issues that are a little acrimonious within the environmental community, and of course, fireworks. You know, when we embarked on our fireworks campaign many years ago, we were really focused on Mission Bay to start because there are so many fireworks shows that happen there. But as we got a little further along, a few years into it, the thing that really struck us was that despite having set a precedent that clearly indicated that certain laws applied to fireworks displays, no matter what we did, we couldn't get elected officials or appointed bodies or administrative agencies to do anything about it. There was just nothing we could do to wake people up. And every time we raised the issue, it was too much of a hot button issue. So we looked around town and we thought, where are the places where fireworks happen regularly, where the laws are being ignored, and frankly, where the environment is most at risk? And La Jolla very quickly rose to the top as the most sensitive and highly protected area, where it's just been blatant the way that the public and the elected officials have looked the other way on the environmental laws.
What laws are these elected officials looking the other way on? And this might be a naive question, but how can elected officials not abide by the law?
Well, you have to look at the nature of fireworks shows that aren't associated with theme parks. You know, where you have big theme park shows that happen regularly, they get more attention. But we're talking about New Year's Eve shows and 4th of July shows, and then kind of the periodic ones that occur maybe at sporting events or at, you know, symphonies and whatnot. But specifically with 4th of July, you know, there's a lot of places that only have fireworks on 4th of July. And so it's easy to see the show come and go very quickly. They're put on by nonprofits who don't have a lot of money. You know, a lot of time there's sponsorship by the local agency. They're seen as a community benefit because they provide a forum for people to come together and, you know, sing their hurrahs for the country or whatever the event might happen to be for. But when we started looking into it, you know, almost every environmental law has some play here. Specifically in La Jolla, the first thing we looked at was the Clean Water Act. Both the federal and state Clean Water Acts have preclusions against the discharge of any pollutants into the waters without permits. And in this particular area, we have some highly sensitive areas. One of them is called the San Diego Area of Special Biological Significance. It extends out in front of UCSD and Scripps Institute all the way down to Black's Beach. And then we also have a couple of locally designated marine preserves. One of them is the San Diego Marine Life Refuge, and the other is the San Diego Ecological Park. And this is thousands of acres of underwater nearshore habitat where the restrictions are fairly onerous. If you go down to La Jolla Cove, you're not even allowed to surf in the water there because it's such a highly protected area. You can't even ride a bodyboard. You can body surf, you can scuba dive, but you can't bring your boat, your surfboard, your kayak, anything in near shore. If you go down to check out the tide pools in La Jolla Cove, you see a nice shell, you're not allowed to pick it up. You're not allowed to take it home with you because it's so highly protected. You go down the beach just a little ways from where they shoot off the fireworks and you have the children's pool. It's been in the press a lot lately. We have one of the only urban seal rookery haulouts in San Diego County, a place where kids and tourists and locals can go and see these animals behaving in their natural environment, not going to a theme park, not going to the zoo. And so kind of putting all of this together, we've had 25 years of shows out there with absolutely no look at the impacts. You know, under the Clean Water Act, you've got to get permits before you put any pollutant into the water. Under the State Coastal Act, you have to get permits before you shoot off fireworks. Under the California Environmental Quality Act, you have to do an environmental report studying the impacts of your action and then coming up with ways or alternatives to those actions and mitigation measures. there's Clean Air Act issues. There are local codes regarding noise. You know, we just found that because it's mom and apple pie, we turn a blind eye to it and say, you know what, those laws don't apply on the 4th of July or maybe on New Year's Eve. And we've just had enough of it.
Now, are there other communities, are there other coastal communities who have had similar concerns, similar issues regarding fireworks and not having appropriate permitting?
Yes, but it's been very few and far between. There is a community up in Northern California called Gualala that has some sensitive resources immediately offshore. And a couple years ago, there was a big test case that came out of there where the Coastal Commission, the California Coastal Commission, required the organizers to get a coastal development permit under the Coastal Act because it was shown through some very technical studies that the fireworks were negatively impacting shorebirds and marine mammals that were immediately offshore. It was the Brandt's cormorant and some terns and seagulls that were leaving their nests, abandoning their nests, being harassed and scared essentially when the fireworks went off. And there were some property rights advocates and some other folks who are just generally against the environment who decided to push this one in court, and ultimately they lost. And it really established a strong precedent for requiring these types of permits. We've seen in Morro Bay, they've had some back and forth. There's some sensitive resources there at Morro Rock, a lot of birds, a lot of wildlife. And, you know, we're hearing grumblings really all up and down the coast. The Bayona Wetlands and Marina Del Rey, the shoreline and beaches around Santa Barbara. Pretty much anywhere where you have meaningful bird habitat, we're seeing activists kind of catch wind of what we're doing down here and bring it to the attention of folks.
How would you even handle something like that in Morro Bay where you've got this giant power plant right there anyway, which is belching goodness knows what into the sky?
A lot of folks look at these power plants and the first thing they think of is, wow, look what's going up into the air and how bad could that possibly be? But the reality is what's happening in the oceans and down on the ground is what we need to be concerned about with these, we call them dinosaur power plants. You know, they suck in hundreds of millions of gallons of seawater every day in order to cool their turbines. And there's fish in there, and there's larvae, and these things are decimating our coastal marine life populations. So we look at circumstances like Morro Bay or even Carlsbad, and we say, where you're already impacting marine life so much by having this giant industrial use, sucking lagoon water or estuary water or open ocean water, we need to actually heighten our concern in those areas as opposed to pretending like nothing bad is going on. So I guess we have a spectrum. On the one side, we have La Jolla, which is fairly pristine and we don't want it to be degraded. And on the other side, we have these areas that are so highly degraded because of these industrial uses that we need to recapture them. The state is doing things to bring them back to life, and we don't need to be making that any worse by allowing unpermitted events that are causing harm also.
And where is the California Coastal Commission on what's going on in La Jolla?
Well, the Coastal Commission is in an interesting position. You know, they are one of the few independent agencies at the state level, which means they're not controlled by the governor. They have representatives from the governor's office, the assembly, the Senate, and they're a political pawn in a lot of different games. So they're very careful. They essentially stay out of the fireworks game until someone shows up with very strong scientific evidence. And we respect that. We would like them to be more aggressive, but we realize as soon as they start getting a little heavy-handed, their budgets get cut. And it gives a lot of fodder to the pro-development right to go to Sacramento and cause them a lot of grief. So we don't really rely on them too much in that sense.
It's funny how it works like that.
Everything works like that. It's money and politics.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International, broadcast from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. I'm Tommy Helm, and we're joined in the studio today by Marco Gonzalez, the co-founder of Coast Law Group in Encinitas and a partner at the firm. Marco is also the executive director of SERF, the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation. We're talking about their involvement over the issue regarding fireworks at La Jolla Cove on Independence Day and other water-related matters. For more information on Coast Law Group, you can go to the law firm's website at coastlawgroup.com. That's coastlawgroup.com. Better yet, if you're a surfer, you love the water, you love beaches and the ocean, you really should go check out the website for SERF. That is the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation. SERF.org. CERF.org. That's www.cerf.org. For more information on coastal development, waste to energy, marine debris, water quality protection. Check out surf.org for more information. Let's go back to Mission Bay here real quickly, and also San Diego Bay, because on the 4th of July, there's some large displays over the bay, I believe from two locations, and then there are often several fireworks displays a day, in some cases during the summertime, over Mission Bay. My guess is that there's no difference from the chemicals that are being discharged into these bays as there are being discharged into the ocean. The concern of CERF is that...
You can call us SERF.
Okay. The concern regarding SERF is because of the particularly pristine quality of the La Jolla area.
Let's put all this into context. San Diego Bay has an annual 4th of July show that is billed as the largest west of the Mississippi. It includes four barges, thousands of pounds of explosives, and detritus coming down into the water. And you mentioned quite a number of the heavy metals and chemicals. There's a couple of other things that we need to consider. One is just the amount of trash. Cardboard, fuses, pellets, unexploded fireworks, spent fireworks detritus. All of that stuff falls down into the bay. It's akin to standing on the top of the Coronado Bay Bridge and dumping tens of pounds of trash directly into the bay, something we would never endorse.
And you'd be arrested for doing that.
Absolutely. And then another consideration is perchlorate salts. Perchlorate is a thyroid inhibitor in humans. It causes thyroid problems. It's been found in drinking water. Our state highly regulates it. We have a perchlorate act that was passed in 2003. And so all of this is going on over San Diego Bay, which frankly is already listed on the state's Environmental Protection Agency's list as an impaired water body. So it's already polluted. It's got a huge show that goes on every year. Right now, we're looking at them as something we need to deal with eventually, and we're trying to keep them from expanding. This year, they sought to expand their show down into South San Diego Bay with a barge immediately off the Chula Vista Bayfront. We just spent over a dozen years trying to get a development approved on the Chula Vista Bayfront that would be respectful of the San Diego National Wildlife Refuge. This is one of the most sensitive areas in the whole Pacific Flyway. It has dozens of sensitive habitat areas in different lagoons and estuaries and mudflats. And so we were successful this year in pulling that show back so that everything is occurring north of the bay and a little bit down in Imperial Beach. But you're correct. The stuff that's falling out of the air in large quantities is falling into a bay that we need to be concerned about. Similarly, up in Mission Bay, we have large shows going on a couple times a year on 4th of July and on Labor Day. But up there, the problem is that we have about 130 shows a year going on. And so we just have an accumulation of significantly more pollutants in that area. Beginning back in the early part of the 2000s, we worked with the state to require some water testing to be done in Mission Bay to try to identify how bad the problem was as a result of the number of shows that go on there. Now, San Diego Bay and Mission Bay, they're bays, so they don't get the same tidal flushing that you would get out on the open ocean on the coast.
So things accumulate.
Right. Well, so you figure Imperial Beach, Ocean Beach, La Jolla, you do have a lot more currents to disperse these things, which could be good or bad. San Diego Bay and Mission Bay are both highly polluted already, and they're both getting more of the pollutants into them. And so with much anticipation, about a year ago, we saw the release of studies on Mission Bay, and immediately a lot of the folks in the fireworks industry and the people who we were battling with came out and said, look, it shows no problem. Mission Bay, no problem, none whatsoever. Well, when you get down into those studies and you look at what they actually say, one of the findings is that Mission Bay is so polluted, it's really hard to distinguish whether that pollution is coming from the fireworks events or whether it's coming from all of these other sources that generally pollute that bay. Now, that doesn't mean it's clean. That doesn't mean that fireworks aren't causing it. It means it's so dirty, we need to look harder at it. But more importantly, it did show that on the two big shows that they have every year, on Labor Day and on the 4th of July, there were exceedances of state water quality standards that were statistically significant and directly attributable to those fireworks shows. Unquestionably, the folks who are going out and doing media for the cities and for the fireworks organizers and these special events, they act like this language doesn't exist in the reports. The state of California expressly referenced this when they passed a permit requirement regionally for all fireworks. These things cause harm. Now, just because they're violating water quality standards, just because we can point to a number on a document and say you are exceeding the amount of barium you're allowed to put in a 30-day period or a one-week period or a one-time period, What does that mean? That's the gap. That's where we're at. We know that water quality standards are violated, but no one has yet done the work to show what happens when you put too much barium in this waterway. Does it kill all the critters in the mud? Does it make its way into the food chain? How many birds does it affect? Does it affect them at all? And that's the problem we have right now, and La Jolla is our test case. No one's doing the studies necessary to tell us what happens when we put all these chemicals in the water, and we know they go in the water at measurable amounts. And we also know that in other circumstances where you have those kind of chemicals in the water, it's really bad for marine life. No one's willing to go in on a fireworks basis and say, what is the impact to the ecosystem? We've got some good studies on what the impacts are to humans, and it doesn't look good. But no one's willing to go in there and look at the impacts to ecosystems. And we believe that's because every time they do, just like we talked about earlier in Gualala, there's problems.
Yeah, you have to get the study funded.
You know, academia, I think, would be the place to turn. There's a lot of folks, both in government and academia, who do research on a lot of stuff. But again, what we're talking about is putting out a paper that is going to find that your annual 4th of July show, where you bring your kids and, you know, everyone drinks their beer and toasts to Independence Day, is actually causing the great country we're celebrating a lot of harm. And no one wants to know that. I think it's a little easier to bury our heads in the sand, much as a lot of folks do every 4th of July, and throw their trash all over the place and just look for someone else to come by and clean it up.
Yeah, it doesn't show a whole lot of pride or respect.
You know, in the environmental community, taking on American tradition, pastime, it's always a difficult matter. I remember back in 2001, right after the bombings of the World Trade Center, I was working for San Diego Baykeeper, now it's San Diego Coast Keeper at the time, and we had prepared a lawsuit against Kent Pendleton for total negligence in managing their sewer system, their sewer conveyance and their sewer treatment system. They were having hundreds of spills all year long. And we happened to have filed our notice letter of that suit the day after September 11th. We had board members quit. We had hate mail, just like we've had on the fireworks. And we started asking ourselves, you know, what's the message that we need to get out? And ultimately we came up with, you know, there's nothing more patriotic than clean water. And especially in a circumstance like Camp Pendleton, where you have Marines training in the coastal waterways, you got SEALs and folks up there in the rivers, in the streams, on the coast. Why would we subject not just our populace, but also our military to training in polluted water? There's nothing American about that. There's nothing American about turning a blind eye to the destruction of our environment, spending countless thousands of dollars to blow up bombs overhead while we're negatively impacting the very land that these folks are dying for overseas to protect. It just doesn't make sense to us, and it's one of the reasons we keep fighting.
It's natural heritage. I mean, the natural heritage and the pride in the United States had a lot to do with the formation of the National Park Service. That's why we designate wilderness areas. That's why you can't take machines into wilderness areas, because it's out of respect in part for natural heritage. Surely it's reasonable for that natural heritage to apply to places where people do gather, like the beach, like waterways.
Yeah, and we're more than willing to look at the arguments that are put before us. And every New Year's Eve and every 4th of July, we get a lot of mail. We get a lot of emails from folks. And I got to tell you, we get very few people who are saying, you know, here's an alternative scientific viewpoint, or here are additional facts to consider. Everything is just, you know, what about your kids? Don't they like fireworks?
Yeah.
You know, or next you want to what? Burn the flag.
It's not about me. It's about doing what's right.
Well, and having a last name like Gonzalez, when you do this work, you get a whole other lot of redneck justice out there. You know, I get called a lot of names. People presume that I'm an immigrant, or that I don't have papers, or that I'm somehow doing this as a backlash against American policies on immigration. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. I do what I do, whether it's fireworks, sewage, transit and transportation, land use, housing, protection of the backcountry. I do it because I grew up here, and I've seen the powers that be, largely the powers with the money behind them, absolutely trash it and destroy it. I grew up surfing contests in Southern California, and I remember coming home and my throat burning because there was so much pollution in the water, raw sewage and stormwater runoff. It just smelled like dirty cabbage, just disgusting. You know, I go down to the border area and I see where our own government is absolutely failing to manage the discharges that come from Mexico onto our soil and come out onto our beaches. We accepted that responsibility back in the 50s when we signed a treaty with Mexico, and yet we choose not to deal with it. We could spend money to deal with it But we choose to subsidize freeways. We choose to subsidize housing and infrastructure into our wilderness areas and in our Cleveland National Forest. It'd be one thing if we were looking around and we were saying, you know, we're doing a good job everywhere. We need to find something to fight. Let's fight fireworks. No, we're looking around and we're doing a horrible job. And one of the most blatant places we can point to that's going to wake people up is fireworks. So we haven't shied away from it. You know, one of the things that I oftentimes like to point out to folks who are against what we're doing is, if we're going to ignore our environmental laws on the 4th of July, what other laws do we ignore? Underage drinking? You know, people are always telling me, fireworks are fun. We need to let people have fun. You know, I know a lot of 13, 14, 15-year-olds who think it's fun to go out on the 4th of July and down a 12-pack of Bud Light. Does that mean we're going to turn a blind eye just because that's somehow become part of their natural history or their heritage in this culture or this country? We don't do that. We don't allow people to litter just because it's 4th of July. We don't allow people to just go drive 150 miles an hour on the freeway. These laws exist to protect our homeland, just like all the laws exist, and so we're going to enforce them.
And these laws didn't just appear out of thin air one day. There was a reason why these laws were put together and put on the books in the first place. There was a reason why there was a public that wanted these laws to be passed and put on the books and presumably enforced.
Well, and interestingly enough, most of these laws came into place at the end of the 60s, early 70s, during our seminal Earth Days. And, you know, here in California, we've got some good conservatives to blame for that or to thank for that. Ronald Reagan, Nixon, on the federal level. These were the conservatives who recognized in their day, under a more appropriate GOP platform, that a healthy environment equates to a healthy economy. When you have rivers that catch fire, when you have beaches that are inundated with trash and sewage, it's not good for tourism. It's not good for business. Unfortunately, today, the GOP platform is about guns and abortion and Christianity and has very little to do with what some of their own heroes thought were the types of things we should be focused on. You know, protect our homeland by protecting our homeland.
Just a couple of years ago, you had a lot of major GOP figures who were actively involved in climate change concerns and addressing this. I mean, that was absolutely about as mainstream as you got. This, and we're talking 2008. And when you look at the GOP of 40 years ago, which was a considerably more moderate body at that time, it was also good politics at that time to pass those types of laws because people wanted them. And Reagan and Nixon had their understanding of the public as well as any other politician did. And they knew it was, on top of everything else, good politics. It also happened to be, thankfully, really good policy for Americans.
Yeah, and you know, we can look back to Teddy Roosevelt, guys who were Republicans, who did more for the environment than any Democrat today could ever hope to do. And we have to ask ourselves, why has it changed so much? And there's any host of reasons, but you know, I look to the future and how we're going to get to a place where we can change the system. And of course, everyone says, well, it's all about the youth. You know, it's kind of like Obama getting elected. It's about the young people becoming educated and coming out and using their culture, whether it's social media or technology or whatever it is, to make their values part of the discussion. But I'm concerned because if what we're saying is that the environment has to fight with media and with entertainment, sports, music, you know, our MTV instant culture, if the environment has to fight with that culture for relevance among youth, I think we've got a tough road ahead. I think that there's a lot of hedonism out there that's being preached in the kind of the vein of consumerism that is really going to be hard for us to overcome as these kids get older to get them to understand, you know, something that we thought their hippie parents understood, and that is you need to get out from behind your television or from behind your computer. You need to get out in the environment that you're going to seek to protect. You need to enjoy it and understand how relevant it is to your overall health. It's going to be a tough decade ahead, I think. It's an interesting thing to look at the environmental community today and try to figure out where it's going. You have some grassroots organizations out there like Surf Rider and the Sierra Club. At the local level, they're pretty much entirely volunteer. As a result, they focus a lot on things like education, beach cleanups, beach walks, or wilderness walks. I think those are great opportunities to get kind of the uneducated or the uninitiated into the movement, and they definitely serve their place. But on some level, we also have to take a step back and say, how is government working? You know, you've got highly paid lobbyists on behalf of developers. You've got governments themselves lobbying each other to be able to do certain things. if you don't have groups like San Diego Coastkeeper or a Coast Law Group supported Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation out there doing policy, doing the same thing that the developers are doing at the highest levels of government, whether it's DC, Sacramento, or our local city council, if you don't have those groups out there not just pushing advocacy, but filing lawsuits, threatening lawsuits, expending significant resources, or taking huge risks to hold elected officials accountable, we're never going to do it. We're going to be a bunch of hippies banging on our drums on a polluted beach, maybe picking up cigarette butts. And that's not going to cut it, because the laws are technical. The courts are there to make sure the laws are enforced, but we just don't have a lot of people out there doing it. In this era of climate change concern, the one thing that we really have to look at is how we get about. At the end of the day, clean water has been something we've been focusing on for like 10 years, and I think we've made great strides in sewer levels of cleanliness before we discharge, of reuse of water. All these things are moving in the right direction. But where I don't see us moving strongly enough is in transportation and transit. Frankly, if we're going to protect our open spaces, we've got to learn to live in more dense areas, more cities, more downtowns. And in order to do that in a way that's healthy and enjoyable, we need to have transportation options. I think, you know, we have this love affair with our cars in Southern California. We need to learn to get out and ride our bike, walk down to the grocery store down the street, see our neighbors, you know, be a little bit more healthy that way, and just get the heck out of our cars. There's a lot going on right now in terms of planning our road infrastructure for the next 50 years, and I think it's just passing people by. They have no idea what's going on, where the money's going, and I think, unfortunately, a lot of what we think we care about today is going to be rendered irrelevant if we don't stop the global climate change issues that are currently happening and the sea level rise that will likely result. Just think about not just the sea walls and the sea bluffs, but every coastal lagoon is going to be eventually inundated with seawater in a way that's going to destroy habitat that so many species rely on. And why? Because we just can't get out of our cars. You know, we need trains, we need mass transit, and frankly, we need more biking. Give us some bike lanes. Every other place where they're smart about planning, in Europe, in Asia, in Australia, they're looking into more bike lanes. Why don't we have that here in San Diego?
You go to a place like Boulder. Boulder doesn't even have the kind of reliably nice weather you get in Southern California. That's the most bicycles I've ever seen anywhere.
Well, I don't know if folks know this about Los Angeles, but the mayor came out at one point for a bicycle event and promptly got hit by a car and broke his elbow. And all of a sudden, he's become one of the most most strong advocates for biking and alternative transportations. And, you know, in San Diego, I'm not saying Mayor Sanders needs to get hit by a car, but somebody needs a wake-up call here to realize if we can't walk and bike and get around, if our seniors and our poor can't jump on a train or a trolley and get to work or to health services, we're doomed. We're just going to be sitting in our car choking on each other's diesel and gas fumes and, you know, watching the planet go to hell in a handbasket.
Marco Gonzalez, co-founder of the Coast Law Group in Encinitas, partner at the firm. Really great having you on the show today. Obviously, we could talk for about 2 hours on all these topics. I really appreciate making some time today and stopping on in. And thank you for the work that you are doing.
Thanks, Tommy. I look forward to coming back.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. I'm Tommy Howe. Thank you once again to Marco Gonzalez for coming by and joining us. Again, Marco is the co-founder and a partner at the Coast Law Group in Encinitas, California. He's also the executive director of SERF, the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation. Now, again, you can go to the Coast Law Group's website for more information at coastlawgroup.com. That's www.coastlawgroup.com. You can also go to SERF's website, the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation, at www.serf.org, and that's spelled CERF.org for Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation. Serf.org, CERF.org. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM 94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media. As producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, you can email me at tommy@fm949sd.com. And for more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, go to the Tree Huggers International website at treehuggersintl.com. That's treehuggersintl.com. You can also access the Tree Huggers International page via the FM949 website at www.fm949sd.com. Also, find Tree Huggers International on Twitter and Facebook, and our Twitter address is at treehuggersintl. Tree Huggers International content is now also available on iTunes. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. We'll be back same time next Sunday morning with another take on natural science and environmental affairs as we continue our mission to preserve parks, wilderness, and special places on Tree Huggers International. Thanks for making us a part of your Sunday morning, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be well.